This episode of FilmSack is brought to you in part by Shutterstock.com. With over a million high-quality video clips, Shutterstock helps you take your creative project to the next level. For 25% off your new account, go to Shutterstock.com and use the offer code FilmSack9.
Brothers and sisters, today is the 15th of May, the first day of the planetary alignment, and we are still no nearer to discovering the location of the key. It seems we are running out of time.
This isn't a country, it's an ice cube. This is FilmSack. Oh, sure.
Well, hello, everybody. Welcome back to FilmSack. This is FilmSack, mining the very depths of film entertainment for all mankind, episode 176. My name is Scott Johnson, and I am joined tonight by Brian. He's always cautious in Tomb Raider's bed, because she sleeps with a fishing knife Dunaway.
Hello, this is Brian from the prop department. Could you please let Miss Jolie know we have completed her prosthetic balls complete with scrote bag? We made them plenty tough so she can do as much crotch grabbing as she needs in this movie.
My scrote.
Excellent work. Also with us, Randy, he makes up one half of that stupid triangle, Jordan.
Ah, aloha, Brian. Scott, Brian. So I've got an idea. You know how for 50 years or so people have been saying there should be a Jane Bond film? You know, one with a female heroine who travels the world and defeats the bad guys while reclaiming a feminist sexual empowerment by using men the way James Bond uses women. And she can be smart and witty and... Hold on, I'm being already handed some edits here. Okay, let's see. Okay. So, yeah, she can have huge bouncy breasts, but she's going to be powerful insofar as... Hold on, what? Okay, yes, okay, sure. There can be a titillating shower scene, but it needs to end with a manservant handing her a towel, and I'm being told there's no budget for a manservant? This is going to end up being a stupid porn again, isn't it?
Pretty close. Hackers 2, Electric Boogaloo. Finally, Brian, the worst American accent you'll hear this entire episode, Ibbot.
Oh, hello. You know, my favorite part of the film is when Lara Croft jumps from the top of one pillar and then she tries to get to that other pillar and then she falls and she misses. Yeah. And then she has to start back over that one area with the ropes and then make her way back through that tunnel and then shower scene, side boob. Where was I?
How many polygons was that side boob is the question.
There was actually someone making this movie who, after the shower scene with Angelina Jolie, they said, you know what? We've got a former underwear model in this movie. Let's have him in a shower scene too later. That'll balance it.
Yeah. Is that what he used to do? Did he used to do the underwear? I had no idea. Daniel Craig's origins.
Yeah, he did the Calvin Klein, right? Or the whatever it is. What is it?
Well, really, that would make sense.
Yeah, I mean, the guy looks good.
Oh, yeah, he's got the swimmer's body.
Maybe we just think that because he's so handsome.
Maybe. But I don't see that as a thing, though. I don't think he's handsome. I think he's got the face of a goat. It's just that body just doesn't quit.
Yeah, I would hate to look like him. That would suck.
But you come into that scene and you're like, oh wow. So in the first one we saw her from the back, the waist up and from behind, right?
Yeah.
Because that's how you keep it PG-13.
Of course you do.
So now in this one we're basically seeing him from like the chin up.
Yeah.
It's like, oh.
Occasionally he'll walk around a table and you get a little weird muscly butt cheek or something.
But your shower scene was added for pornographic balance.
Right.
Great.
And if anybody needs an hour and 45 minutes of duck lips.
Yeah.
This is
your movie, right?
Right. I started thinking, you know what? Angelina Jolie just makes that face because that's natural to her. Right. I started thinking maybe everybody's trying to look like her on Facebook and all these other places. Yeah,
I wouldn't be surprised.
They're all John Voight's illegitimate.
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 But I don't care if John Voight had only ever married one person and only had children with that person. All of those children would have been illegitimate.
Well, she's
all been illegitimate,
right? Yeah, she's quarter snake, right? She has to be because he was
he made out with the snake in Anaconda. Right?
It's not possible to watch this movie and not think of him getting spit out of that snake.
No, it's not. No. True. Back up. Yeah. It's not full stop. Not possible to watch John Voight without thinking about him getting coughed up by a snake.
Yeah.
In anything, I don't care what it is now. Old stuff, new stuff, it doesn't matter. He is getting horked up.
He's defined.
He's winking at me. He's half digested. It's all the same.
My girlfriend asked me. She says, John Voight, who is that? And I said, well, he was a pretty well known actor. Well, Anaconda. Oh.
See, I can still always think of the pencil. The bite marks on the pencil in the station wagon.
Right. And then he's the Seinfeld one with the car, right? What was that? LeSabre?
I'm on John Voight's car.
Yeah. So John Voight.
Oh my God, it's John Voight's pencil with John Voight's bite marks.
It's a funny guy.
This summer, we've seen Anaconda, Mission Impossible, and now Tomb Raider.
Yep.
What's Deliverance? Do we need to watch Deliverance?
We've never seen Deliverance. We should.
I don't know. Like, I can't name another John Voight film.
I can.
What's the Midnight Cowboy?
Yeah, the one where he's him and Dustin Hoffman. They're getting on, right? Aren't they getting it on or no?
No, they're not getting it on. But he is a male prostitute.
Well, he was the coach in Varsity Blues, right?
Yes. But what? Wait, back up though. What was Dustin Hoffman's point in that movie then? Wasn't I thought they were boyfriends or something? No.
No. He was just like a con artist.
Oh,
Ratso Rizzo or something like that.
All right.
Well,
fair enough. He's how old now? Let's see. He's 38. He was born.
And before you start writing a comment on our blog, I do not want to watch Deliverance. I want to make that clear.
I love that movie. That movie.
Really? Fantastic. What?
Deliverance?
It was. You know, it was filmed pretty close to here.
Okay.
We can wrap up the show. I mean, we just Brian Dunaway just called Deliverance a movie he loves.
That movie is supposed to be hard to watch.
It's not really hard to watch. It's a couple things are a little disturbing, but
Ronnie Cox dying in the river, that's pretty hard to watch.
A pig is really the most that's hard. That is right.
Especially because it's what's his name from Superman 2. It's right. What was his name?
Lex Luthor's buddy.
Yeah, Lupus or whatever his name is. Is it Lupus?
It wasn't Lupus.
Curtis, Philip, what is it? He would run around with him. He would say, Mr. Luthor, Mr. Luthor.
Otis.
Say.
Otis.
Yes,
Ed Bates.
All right, great. Superman connection. Let Scott Fletcher say what this thing really is. He has the real definition.
Sure.
Forget about John Voight. Forget that he was in Heat. Forget he was in Transformers. Forget he was in The Getaway or 24. Forget about all those things, okay? Just know that he's in Baby Geniuses and The Treasure of Egypt and Baby Geniuses and The Space Baby coming up in 2013. Just know that.
Okay.
So here's Scott Fletcher explaining. Here you go.
Tomb Raider. English aristocrat Lara Croft, skilled in hand-to-hand combat, must recover antiquities lost in a secret society. She meets her match in the evil Powell, who's in search of a powerful relic.
All right, fair enough. That's Tomb Raider. I played Tomb Raider 1, 2, 3, fell off for a while, played the big redo comeback HDification thing a couple years ago, and I played the new one. So I feel like I come to the table... I played Tomb Raider 1 on both a Sega Saturn, its original platform, where that was supposed to be an exclusive. And then pretty quickly they went, oh, that's a PlayStation 1 selling pretty good, you guys. We probably ought to put it over there. So then I played it again on that. And I thought that game was amazing. They had essentially taken Indiana Jones and girlified it and modernized it and given me what I thought was just one of the coolest exploratory kind of games ever made. And I thought it was awesome.
Right.
So I never saw the movie in the theater because by then my love of Tomb Raider had waned and nobody was making good video game adaptations and I never saw this. So
yeah, me either. I absolutely, you know, I knew about it. I thought about it and I said, yeah, I just don't know. You know, when you watch something, basically the video game is a wash of a bunch of different movies And then you're going to take that video game, which is just a boiled down version of all these movies, and you're going to take it back to the theater.
Yeah.
I thought right away, I was like, oh, that's a bad idea.
It's hard, that's right?
Yeah.
Think of one. I mean, we've talked about this on the show many times, you know, good video game adaptations. We thought Mortal Kombat was an okay thing in 95. But right. really, since then, can we really like put our finger on one where we would go, yeah, they nailed it. Finally, a video game adaptation into a film and not the other way around that really worked and has had a broad audience and people cared about. There still isn't one. I hope World of Warcraft is it. The Warcraft movie. I don't know if it is or not, but you hope because everything else has been shite.
Yeah, I mean, could they? So basically, I mean, the point is to take a character that's strong enough to stand on its own and then do something that is kind of influenced by the video game, but separate from any plots or anything that's happened in the video game. I think they could do that with Nathan Drake.
Well, sure they could.
Like the usual consensus best, and this is not good, just best of the bad video game adaptations is Final Fantasy, The Spirits Within. Most people say that.
Which I still haven't seen. Movie. And I think we've got it on our list, don't we?
But it's good.
To your point, it's not taken directly from a game. Mm-hmm. There isn't a video game that they said, okay, we're going to rewrite that for a film. They took this concept and made a movie that goes in a very different direction. I would say the same is true for a lot of the tolerable ones like Prince of Persia, Sands of Time, or the first Resident Evil
film. Which was a pretty good movie.
Yeah, I kind of like Sands of Time. I didn't hate that. Yeah.
Are the characters in Final Fantasy, are those characters from the game? Because I know the game has different characters.
Well, it depends on which film you look at. If you're looking at Final Fantasy, the Face Within, or whatever the hell it's called.
The Spirits Within.
I can't get that name right, ever. I saw it in the theater, and that movie sucks. Yeah. It's real, real bad, but it's not...
It looked fantastic.
It looked really neat. Everyone's face looked dead is the only real major problem.
That's why it's the Face Within.
Are you sure, Scott, you're talking about the one with Alec Baldwin and James Woods?
Yes, that is the one I'm talking about. Not a good movie.
I say, that is continuously raised as the best... Again, not good, but the best of the video game adaptations.
Well, I would disagree. I think that thing has zero to do with games, and maybe that's why they think that.
Advent Children is also introduced as one of the worst.
Like, and that is straight up, well, tell that to like O or a few other people I know. They think it's the greatest thing ever made. But that, you know, if you're a purist sort of anime head, love everything about actual Final Fantasy, then that game's Advent Children is basically Final Fantasy animated. It's Storm, or what's his name? Cloud with a big fat sword. It's chocobos, and it's all that shit.
Mm-hmm. Well, you guys know that my favorite.
Big fan.
Random, my favorite
random
video
battles.
Game.
Yeah. Anyway, go ahead.
Yeah, my favorite video game adaptation is really Resident Evil.
Yeah, the first one.
I like all of them. Well, my theory is that the odd ones are good and the even ones are bad.
Oh, that's confusing because I can't tell you one difference between Resident Evil Apocalypse and Resident Evil Extinction. Like,
plus they don't put the numbers in the title.
Yeah,
so we gotta do some research to figure out which ones are the odd ones.
Apocalypse 2 and Extinction.
Oh, that's too smart for Randy. He needs numbers. Roman numeral if you have them.
I tell you, they all have the Mia Jovovich, and she is a really good...
Mia is the best action star.
Mila.
She can be in any...
That L's not silent. Just throwing it out there.
L's.
Yeah, there's two Mila. L's.
So that's why Mila. I said Mia, because there's two.
All I know is, look, you put her in a Band-Aid outfit or whatever the hell that was. Awesome. Great.
The gownless evening straps that she wears in Fifth Element.
She's all right.
While it's still rummaging around in the back of my head, I just want to reset our conversation for just a second,
please.
Before the 1996 Olympics in Atlanta, Jeff Foxworthy was touring around and released an album called Redneck Games because he was making fun of how the Olympics had finally come to the American South.
Mm-hmm. Wait, he used rednecks as a way to get laughs? I don't believe you. I don't believe it.
Yeah. And my favorite joke on Redneck Games was an observation by him about how when you have the Olympics, they happen all over town.
Yeah.
And he said the river they're having the kayak races on is the same river they filmed Deliverance at, which ought to add a whole degree of difficulty because, you know, if Ned Beatty couldn't make it down that thing, a French man in a pair of biker pants ain't got a chance.
Yeah.
And I have just blown away that you brought up the Ed Beatty, and I'm like remembering Jeff Foxworthy from like 17 or 18 years
that's
ago.
The way
you
this
might
stuff
be
works.
A decathlete if you.
So let's talk about Angelina Jolie for a minute.
Oh, sure.
Okay, so she's
that will help distract me from Jeff Foxworthy, who I can't stand. Right. So go ahead, be great.
She's the headliner here, and you know I've seen her do good action movies, and I've seen bad action movies that she's done, and this is definitely to me. I think it was exactly what I was expecting.
Yep, same here.
And like I said in my opening, there's a lot of crotch grabbing. There's a lot of her writing phallic symbols to destroy stuff, and it's just like this whole. It's like Tomb. You know, Lara Croft is supposed to be this
penis shaped motorcycle.
It's like Lara Croft is supposed to be.
Never thought about the thing swinging back and
swinging
forth.
Swinging back and forth to hit that little. I'm like, come on,
everything.
Really?
Yeah,
and so is like
I'll give her credit for one thing. She had very sensible hair.
Oh yeah,
right.
The sensible ponytail was really smart.
The character of the game does
Tom Raider. Yeah,
right. And you always look at that and you go, oh yeah, this is how you do it, because you got your two guns, you got your ropes and your whatnots, and then you got your hair out of the way. Otherwise, this is a huge mistake. This is a big problem for Lara Croft. And you'd say that back in the day. So I just want to put it right out there that I feel like this 2001 release. Felt like a 1997 release.
Right.
And I mean that with all of my being. there's music in here. There's visuals. There's special effects. There's all these things that do not feel like a post Fellowship of the Ring era to me. Right. They feel like a 1997 era when I just finished watching Blade and I'm thinking about rewatching The Crow. Like, that's the era this feels like it was ripped from.
And I'm saying wow because I agree. Yeah. I actually, it took you saying that for me to realize this was from 2001. I actually did. I would have if you would have asked me before you said that what year this came out. I would have said late 90s.
Yeah,
they blew all the special effects budget on the very first scene, which makes no sense whatsoever. I have never been so confused as coming away from that scene, realizing, wait a minute. So the robot actually belongs to her.
Yeah,
it's actually a training partner.
Yeah, can we throw out a trope alert for this?
Oh hell yeah, we can.
Opening scene is a training course. Yeah,
you don't know it is, but it turns out it is. It's basically it's the opening of lots of X-Men comics when they're really in the whatchamacallit, but
the danger room. Yeah.
And the robot driver didn't know she was using live rounds, but she didn't know he was punching to kill. So you're like, oh my God, shut up. Yeah. Why you ruined the first scene by giving me all of that crap.
And that guy she was working with? That guy's in everything. Here's your weird, awkward, socially awkward nerd computer genius. That you want to have around making all your shit. I can't stand that character.
Mm-hmm. Oh, really?
I do like the fact that he's played by the guy who cut off Jaime Lannister's hands.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Hand. Right, dude. Yeah. Oh my gosh, the Game of Thrones connections in there is crazy.
Yeah, a couple of them.
For those of you who are waiting for the series to end, that was a spoiler alert.
Oh yeah. Good point.
Sorry.
Yeah, get through book three.
You
real want
to edit that thing out?
Hit book three as hard and fast as you can. That may have been book two, even. Well, whatever. Yeah, he loses a hand. There you have
it. But isn't that first scene so much more awesome if you're left thinking whatever you thought about the crypt she was in and why she was under attack, and she just walks out of it, and that's it?
Yeah.
You're never told anything else?
Yeah, that would have been better.
This movie is a long series of something cool being ruined by an explanation just after it.
Yeah, I agree. There was a lot of that going on. I feel like, but again, that feels like a... Hey, we're taking some Hong Kong influences, everybody, and we got some cool CGI generating machines. Let's make stupid movies. And that feels like a mid to late 90s effort that hadn't been refined. And this movie feels way out of time for that. Because in 2001, there were other examples of things happening that felt a decade ahead of what's happening in Tomb Raider.
And is there any other point to it other than just it being an action-packed scene? Like, it doesn't really introduce... her buddy, I can't remember her buddy's name.
James Bond's buddy? Or no, you don't mean Jack. You mean who?
Bryce? You talking about the close buddy or the butler?
The close buddy. That's right. Not Lister, but Rimmer.
Rimmer? Wait, is that Rimmer?
her manservant was Rimmer from, her little tech buddy. I'm trying to say, like, was there any other purpose? Like, could that have ended with her retrieving the object, you know, the MacGuffin at the end of the tunnel, and then opening credits, and then we see her back at her villa?
Well, I would remind you of another film that perhaps inspired all of this, that did this kind of opening scene we're talking about that we now call a trope, but did it better. And that was one Indiana Jones, played by Harrison Ford, walking through the forest with freaking Dr. Ock along with him there. They get to the thing. They pull off the deal. He runs, throw me the whip. You throw me the addle. I throw you the whip. Throws him the thing. Gets stabbed by the deal. Runs out the front. Cobwebs all over his face. Getting chased by a giant ball, right? By a giant stone. Falls out there. One guy goes and has all the natives chase him. And snake in the pants. There's your scene.
You but think the, Scott's what, ever seen this movie a few times?
But what works about Indiana Jones and Raiders of the Lost Ark, the very first film, and that scene as an opener, even if you've never played Lara Croft, I know that they were trying to do this. They're setting it up to like, all right, here she is in her element. She's in a tomb. She's clearly raiding it. She's doing the things that you do, just like Indiana Jones was. That all is being explained to you visually. You're getting that she's a badass. You're getting that he's a badass, or that he's, you know, lucky because he escaped the stone and now he's in all this trouble. The big difference is the Tomb Raider one is a MacGuffin and fake, and the Indiana Jones one is a thing that happened in the life of Indiana Jones. It was an actual escape with a with an idol head.
Right. There's actual real danger at the end of it. You're feeling like, oh, my God, what a close shave, as opposed to, oh, she could have stuck her hand in the air and said stop at any time.
Yeah, I don't like that.
Right. She had a safe word.
So,
chicken, please.
So which movie constantly felt like after every action sequence, you know, I'd like to go back and do that again, and which one was based on a video game?
Right.
Like that it just the entire time you're watching Lara Croft Tomb Raider, you're like, oh, look, boss battle. Maybe she's going to have to refight this one.
Right.
You know, I've been really struggling with this movie because I knew I didn't want to see it, and I was worried. I'm like, oh, it's going to make me so jaded going in this movie. I'm not going to. But I know that it made us money back, and, you know, and it's got lukewarm reception in the, you know, among viewers.
It wasn't terrible. It wasn't great. It was just kind of there. Yeah.
And so, yeah, I mean, is anybody just a diehard Tomb Raider defender for this movie? I mean, is it
no.
And Tomb Raider is one of those things that like I brought up from the feminist perspective. If it really attempted to be a feminist video game, it would have done certain things that clearly it was trying to do fan service to greasy fanboys. And as a result of trying to do too many things for too many people, it does nothing well.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Right. This movie just concentrates that.
Yeah, it does. Derek, go ahead.
There were several times in this movie that I had to rewind because I thought I maybe missed something. Like when she's at the ruins and the guys are, you know, outside on their little plush sofa in the jungle. Whatever the crap that was all about,
yeah, the
pillows
hell,
and everything,
dude.
Pillows and sofa and everything out there. Well, anyway, everybody was inside, right? And then the six-armed golem thing stood up and started to beat her up, and all of a sudden the rest of the characters just kind of just disappeared. They didn't they're just gone.
Yeah.
Okay,
and
got
so
this.
Chicken the bucket.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then 15 minutes later, she comes running out, and they're all sitting on the couch. And just sitting there having a conversation, you know, smoking cigarettes. How you doing? I'm doing good. It's perfect. It's good. And it's like, what?
Yeah, there are a few moments like that. But and you knew that you were in a movie that felt, again, I'm almost a decade earlier, because when an action scene would start, they'd play a Propeller Head song, or they would play some other invoke the Matrix is what I like to call it.
Yeah.
And they did it every time she was on her motorcycle, anytime she was swinging on shit, anytime she had to leave. You know, get away from the eight arms of Bishnu or whatever the hell that thing was.
And I like that stuff. Like, oh wow, she's riding a motorcycle really fast and dangerously because it helps me forget the most recent nonsense.
Yeah,
you know, like that particular one when that motorcycle scene started up. That first time she's riding into London or wherever.
It
could never decide where in England she was supposed to be.
Right.
You know, with her West Sussex accent. But suddenly she's, I don't know. Anyway.
She's pretty good at that accent, though. I got to give her that. She's all right.
She's better at it than Daniel Craig is at
the Oh yeah.
So, but anyway, that motorcycle shot made me forget for a while the whole dismantled MacGuffin trope where you know, the triangle of light was split into two pieces. And I'm then spending the next 10 minutes going, why didn't they split it into 500 pieces?
Right. Exactly.
What the?
Right.
If this it's so dangerous. Why can't it be split? At least they should have taken one of the two pieces and split that into two pieces, yeah, and then split one of those into two pieces.
It's like it's a triangle. You should at least done three,
three pieces, equal sides.
That's funny if you bring that up because I thought the same thing.
Yeah. Did it remind you of any movie? Because I just happened to watch the other day. I watched another movie with a dismantled MacGuffin.
What was it?
The three pieces of a crown in Hellboy 2. And when you get them together, they reconfigure themselves in this incredible thing. So freaking ridiculous. If you split them into too many pieces, what if one of those gets lost forever?
Yeah.
Wow. Right. Movie
like
over.
Harry Potter.
It's interesting, though, because the Harry Potter thing worked for me, especially in the books, because, you know, the splitting of the soul.
The Horcrux thing?
Yeah, the Horcruxes or whatever.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That stuff is handled pretty well because, again, it's back to this. You don't need to explain everything to us. We can infer a lot, and therefore our imaginations are cool to go in places that you don't have to lay out for us. In other words, it's the old midichlorians thing. Don't tell us how Jedis are Jedis. Let us have this idea in our head that it's a little bit mystical and hard to figure out. That's a better solution than, it's in your blood, and there's little molecules in there, and it's like a little compound, and only a few people have it, you give it to your own kids. Okay, great. Thanks, George. Go back to your freaking cave. So in this case, they did too much of that. I would have been okay with it if it had been like, we've got to find these pieces. What are they? I don't know. All I know is that this is the final piece. So let's see what we can track down. Well, it looks like we found half of it. Well, why half? It doesn't matter. Let's go.
Yeah, right.
They did do a good job because it definitely raised way too many. It distracted me way too much because I started thinking, oh, they're going to take it to the two ends of the world. Okay, did they think the world was flat then? Wouldn't they just like run into each other? It's like, oh, shit. Turn around.
Oh, shit.
Right, just like it was too much thinking on my part when they did that. I should not have been thinking.
Supposed to. That's the point. Is you're supposed to sink into it. Like, okay, back to Indiana Jones. Did any of the mystical stuff in Indiana Jones bug anybody? The answer is no. I'm talking the old movies. Mm-hmm. Well, why? Well, because there was still kind of this thing where you went, the Ark, it's an ancient thing. It's probably bull crap. It's just the Jews or whoever, Moses' people, tucked it away, and it's whatever it is, what it is, and you're going to pull it out, and you'll find a bunch of stuff, and it'll make you a lot of money. But when they decide to pop it open and have those guys melt like candles and have all the Nazis get zapped, right? Oh, man, I love that movie. Let's go watch it right now.
Yeah.
When that all is going on, close your eyes, Marion, that whole thing.
Right.
You don't sit there and go, now, wait a minute. Now, why did the baby? You don't, because they don't give you opportunities to try to explain it so that you are then sent on a path of finding out that this is all bullshit. You're just left with cinematic experience, caught in the moment, caught in the emotion. Good movies do that to you. Bad movies leave you doing what Brian just did.
Yeah. And this movie,
you care about the characters.
Right.
And don't get me wrong. Like, every time I came away from a little thing going, what? That makes no sense. It immediately trampled my brain with action. Except the last time, of course. The last time was when she turns the knife around in mid-flight. And I'm like, okay, so now Daniel Craig's going to get hit by the butt of the knife. Right? And I got to... I got to keep a hold of that for the rest of the movie.
I am so glad you said that. Oh my God. It didn't even, you know what? It didn't even occur to me at the time, but that's so funny.
But it was actually pretty cool. That scene was actually one of my favorites. Even though I thought the same thing, I was thinking, yeah, but look how cool it is the way she's warping that thing in space time.
Getting her hands bloody doing it. And yeah.
Why does she have to hold the blade? Couldn't she just grab the handle and turn it around?
She could have just gotten a wooden shield or some stick and put it right in front of the tip of the knife and caught it in the stick.
I want to kill Russ's face, and then the henchman went and ran off like crazy. Ooh, he's dead.
But she didn't kill him. He got up and they fought again.
This proves that Lara Croft is evil.
Yeah. But when she turned that on Lord Jorah Mormont, or whatever, from Game of Thrones, while he's looking for the Queen of Dragons or whatever the hell he's supposed to be doing, doesn't have his gray hair yet, and he looks pretty young. He gets this knife in his thing. That's supposed to be your moment of, okay, you've killed the smarmy bad guy. Mm-hmm. But he was fine. Mm-hmm. He got up and kind of kicked her ass.
Yeah.
Why did we have all that? Why do you have this thing with the knife? Oh, this reminds me of something else. What was it? Something else.
So many movies. No. So many movies where someone's down for the count, and then they're back up, and you're like, okay, they're getting a second wind, but it's like, no, they're back to 100%. It's a video game thing. He took a potion.
Yeah. I mean, that knife was sent James Bond into the drink. Well, yep. You know what the answer was? The answer was to pick up James Bond, move him on the other side, pick up Jorah Mormont, move him on the other side.
Give a dolly. Yeah. Hand dolly, wheel him over there.
Yeah, and don't kiss breath into him this time. Done. Done. Done is right. And guess what else would be done? That big creative project you've been dying to get out, but don't have the right content for. You need a video clip. You need an image. You need a vector. You need something to get you done. Why not try Shutterstock.com to get you there? You'll find the perfect video for your next project. If you're doing video stuff like I am these days, you need a little bit of interstitial, you need a little bumper stuff, you need a little stinger, whether it's for a website, an advertisement, multimedia presentation, or whatever, any kind of film project, you can choose from over a million high-quality stock clips, 2D animation, and 3D motion clips. They have clips in a variety of digital formats. Most come in HD, so you can get it in 1080p, 720p, whatever it is you're trying to create. Shutterstock sources these video clips from all around the world, puts them right at your fingertips. They had 10,000 video clips each week. So every time you visit, you are likely to find all kinds of new stuff that you can use. They give you the assets you need to bring your creative project to the next level. They've partnered with Facebook to provide advertising customers free access to all its images through Facebook's ad creation tool. It's a great resource for local businesses who want to sort of have a professional ad presence online. You can choose between individual clips or video packs, download clips in HD, or you can save with standard definition or web formats. It's entirely up to you. You can try it now for free. Just set up a new account, no credit card required. Just begin using Shutterstock and imagine what your next video project might be looking like. Save some video selections to your clip box and so on. And once you've decided to purchase, this is where it gets real simple and cheap. Use offer code FILMSAC9 and all new accounts will receive 25% off any package. That's Shutterstock.com. Blah, I can't say that last part. The Shutterstock.com domain is what you're looking for. And 25% off all new accounts. Use the offer code FILMSAC9. We thank Shutterstock for their support of the show. All right. Problem solved.
That actor is Ian Glenn, by the way.
I love that guy.
And he was also in Resident Evil Extinction.
He sure was. Oh. Mm-hmm. He was also in last couple seasons of that British show everyone's into right now. That name who just escaped me.
Downton Abbey.
Downton Abbey. Yeah.
Oh, really?
He's that bastard publisher guy that wants to marry the oldest daughter and he's like way older than her and she doesn't like him. That whole thing. I like that show. Give me a break. Simon West directed this film. We haven't seen a Simon West film since Con Air, our commentary track of Con Air. That was his first movie, and he went on to do a bunch of other stuff, including this. It kind of had his smell on it, don't you think?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
His style of action and stuff. And don't get me wrong, a couple of moments I thought were kind of rad, like action-wise. And they're stupid, but like the motorcycle stuff was cool. The fight in her house with the worst shots in the history of special forces. Like, they're dumb, but they were great. Like, that stuff was fun. Her swinging around and knocking dudes out, that was fun. You know, trying to keep her shirt on while that was going on was fun. I liked all that. I was all right.
Simon West made a Jason Statham film a couple years ago called The Mechanic.
Yeah.
Yes.
And Jason Statham now makes movies that no one sees that are just versions of Transporter.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Pretty much. They're,
yeah.
Didn't he? Was that Drive too, or not Drive?
No, that
Parker.
Was Parker.
Oh yeah.
Oh,
Parker. So like Parker. Revolver, Crank, Death Race, The Bank Job, like all these movies, and he made this Mechanic film, and I looked it up. I'm like, who's Simon West? Oh yeah, he made The Mechanic. Yeah, yet another Jason Statham film. Has everyone now seen Fast and Furious 6?
No, yes. He's in that.
To everyone who wants to see it, seen it.
I'm done.
He was uncredited. He was uncredited in that as Ian Shaw, but he's in 7 as a full credited character.
Right.
So we'll see how that goes.
But you haven't seen it, Scott?
No, I still haven't seen it.
And you don't understand what you just said.
This is what I know. I know that I will watch anything Jason Statham is, and I will enjoy it on some level. I've yet to see one I hated.
I want you to watch. You don't have to watch a Fast and Furious film before 6. Watch 6. And at the end of it, you will be like, okay, I'm ready for Fast and Furious 7.
Oh, really? Right? Okay.
What about the first one? I thought the first one was pretty good.
What, you don't need Fast and Furious, you're saying? I think you need, I always hear five. The one where The Rock came in is the one to start with. No?
You can watch five.
Also, people love Tokyo Drift. Some people really like that one.
But Jason Statham is on board now, so you watch six and you're ready for seven.
Yes. I've liked everything I've ever seen him in. I thought Blitz was cool. I don't know if you guys ever saw Blitz. Blitz is weird. I saw this other one that he was in. Where is it? Is it Redemption? No. Heat? No, that's not out yet. There's some. Safe. That's what it is. This is on Netflix. Safe is great. Like, just watch. Go on a binge. Watch every Jason Statham movie you can find, and you walk away not liking him. I dare you. I dare you to do it. Because the movies are shite. Most
his characters are always good, though. Yeah, I see what you're saying. I mean, I'm looking through his list. It's like, all right, I've seen that and that, and that's
They're all theme and variations, and the theme was Transporter, but. He is so lucky that he made that one movie, because it's been like at least a dozen movies that are variations on it.
Well, that came, let's see, Transporter 1 was before The Italian Job, which is where I think a lot of people think he first sprang. And before that, there were only like four or five movies. Mean Machine, The One, Ghosts of Mars. Oh, shite, Ghosts of Mars.
No. He made his name in those two
the Guy Ritchie, Stock and
Guy,
the Snatch
Guy Ritchie
movie.
Films. Yeah, that's where we got him from. I'm just saying, Transporter set him up for a very long career of jumping and spin kicking people.
Ibbot, no offense, but he's the hottest bald guy working today.
Right.
And the thing,
Hank Schrader?
Not Hank Schrader, dude.
And honestly, we're talking about Jason Statham because he has his movies, these action movies, have a lot in common with Tomb Raider. They have a lot of the same zeitgeist.
Yeah, I feel like you're right. I feel like they're kind of the same. They're cut from the same cloth, as the kids say. let's see. Who else of note here? There is a little bit of trivia about this thing. Let's see. We already talked about Mormont. Let's see. Oh, Expendables 2. We didn't do one. We did one. We didn't do two.
Yeah.
That's also a Simon West joint. Two is. That is. Yeah. The movie said the word bugger five times.
It did it really?
Yeah, five times. Counted them. Yeah. And I thought to myself.
Bad word.
Well, that's an F-bomb right there.
Yeah, you can say that like all day over here, over there.
Right. Over here, yeah. But yeah, you walked up to somebody and say, bugger you. And they're like, what are you saying?
They'll kill you for that.
But over here, it means nothing.
Yeah, it doesn't mean a thing. Yeah. They also said the name of the movie a lot, and I captured all those, so we'll enjoy those later.
Ooh, good job.
What else? Oh, and I immediately, this is just something from a very broad point of view, but as soon as I saw her in the exact outfit that the video game character wears, to the shorts, to the dumb socks and the boots and everything, I immediately hate that. I immediately do not like – I like a game – okay, I like a movie like X-Men – Where they say, you know, we can't have Wolverine in the yellow and black or blue, you guys. We can't do that. Well, you're right. You can't and you shouldn't. What you should do instead is what they did, which is give me some kind of cool suit that's fine and works well. In this particular case, that stuff looks so prefab and so much like the video game that if you played the game, I think that bugs you. If you don't play the game, then who cares? But it's so iconic that I don't need to be hit over the head with it. She could have been in anything. Could put her in a black tank top and pants or whatever.
Well, I think there were a little bit more because she wears that light blue and brown, dark brown shorts that she didn't really sport. It was more of a black top, wasn't it?
Yeah, but the two guns on the side and the reloading things behind her butt and all that stuff. Like, come on.
I like me some dual wielding.
But I like akimbo as well. I'm all right with it.
Mm.
I remember, Angelina Jolie claiming she did all her own stunts in this movie, and I don't believe it one bit. There's so many shots of just her feet or just somebody's hands. So many. I got tired of watching the lower 25% of a woman running.
Right? I'm sure. I'm with you. I don't think there was a couple of motorcycle scenes, and I'm like, okay, if she did that stunt, they padded her up because that's not the right shape.
Yeah, won't work. So do you suppose – okay, here's a question for you. And by the way, you talked about the shower scene earlier, and I just want to make the one comment that I can't see her in a shower or looking sexy without seeing John Voight's jeans at play there. It's hard for me. It's hard for me to get going
really
with her.
It ruins the whole thing.
It doesn't ruin it. It doesn't ruin it. She's a very attractive person.
And he's got a sexy little waist.
He just comes through. You can see it. And it's not that it's a bad – again, everybody's got a parent. Everyone's got dads. My kids probably have some of me in them. Nick certainly does. Thankfully, I have most of their mom in them. But But when you see somebody like that, where you know the dad is John Voight, and you can kind of see right. some of his face there, I don't know, puts me off. Yeah. I can't deal with it.
I'm with you a little bit on that, Scott. Yeah. I mean, I've never been an Angelina Jolie fan. I liked her in a few movies, but I don't know.
What do you want? What do you like? You like the Mr. and Mrs. Smith? You like the?
No,
I did. I thought that was fun.
Oh, I love that movie.
Yeah. That was okay.
I love that movie.
All right, okay, forget about that one for a minute. Let's pretend that doesn't exist. What movies has she made that are really all that big a deal? I feel like her fame as a hottie with big lips that had Billy Joel, what's his name's blood in her vial around her neck.
Billy Bob Thornton.
Yeah, that's who I meant. And and then also now married to Brad Pitt. I feel like that's her career, and it's less about films she's been in, because you can't name for me a litany of films that are just amazing because she's in them. Just name them.
Oh, no. But like... I remember coming to recognize that she existed and she was a good actress because of Hackers and HBO movie where she was naked, Gia, and Bone Collector and Girl Interrupted and Gone in 60 Seconds. Like, I realize her role in Gone in 60 Seconds was kind of small, but I remember she was one of the two or three highest paid people in the film. She had, she had cash.
Right? I think that was about time. I think around Gone in 60 Seconds was about the time I started kind of going, nah, I don't care for her anymore. I really loved her in Hackers. I thought she was fantastic. I didn't watch too much of what she was doing up until about Gone in 60 Seconds. Oh, no, I'm sorry. The Bone Collector. I skipped Pushing 10. But once I started getting about that era, this was kind of when I started going, she just kind of playing the same role every time, and she's, she thinks she's super bad A. I really didn't like her again until she started picking roles that had character flaws, like Wanted. She seemed like she was a little bit more, I don't know.
I'm one of the few here that likes Salt, so I'm.
I loved Salt. Yeah, I thought Salt was that was probably one of my.
I think I like. If Salt I had to pick a favorite, Wanted, actually.
Yeah, and I liked Liev Schreiber in it, and there was some good stuff to say about that movie. But here's one I started. I liked her more when her lips finally, when the rest of her face caught up with the size of her lips, because for a while there, they were. It was like, who's the inner tube with the neck and body? Who is that? What's going on? Oh, there's a face behind that. Okay, got it. Brad Pitt, go for it. All right, better now. Everything's better.
Yeah, my dislike for my, or I wouldn't really say dislike, but my disinterest in Angelina Jolie, I can't even really explain it. It's just like, I don't know.
Look, if she kissed a mirror, this is what I'm saying to her. If she kissed, and let's say in 1998 to 2003, if she kissed a mirror with lipstick and it left a big red lipstick thing,
right?
Some people would have accused a small monkey in heat of pressing its anus up against the window. That's what I'm saying.
I am so sorry, Angelina Jolie. Now I'm your on your side.
Like one-star reviews from Angelina now. Jolie.
Baboon ass anus
Scott
face.
Scott has pushed me too far.
Her lips are weird. I'm just saying. They're stuffing it. Like, there's like, just a little bit of yesterday's salad all up in one of those little creases. They're too big.
No.
Slow those down. And she's fine now. I'm telling you. The rest of her body caught up to it.
Fine now.
For a second. Are they real?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Of course they're real. I've seen them.
Sure. And I don't judge her. Thing.
We've all seen them. We're asking the question.
Yeah. Of course they're real.
They're real. I don't know.
And, have you ever heard of anyone getting a lip reduction? That's ridiculous.
Let's see what they do when they age a little bit. If she does something with them or if she just lets them do what they're going to naturally do.
Are they going to hang down?
Yeah, it'll be like a baboon's ass. You watch.
Mommy,
look at the monkey's ass. All right. what else? I'm mainly kidding, but got to be careful with these things. Let's see. Oh, question. Chick in the bucket moment. Mm-hmm. Why did she go into that auction and try to outbid that other lady and then lose and not care? What was the point of that? Was that just to say to us, hey, audience, she's got a bunch of money and she can just willy-nilly bid for things she doesn't even want? Was that what that was?
I don't know, because I was totally out. As soon as she walked in and she throws her feet up on the chair and acts like, am I offending you rich people? I hope so. That's my whole lot in life.
Right.
I was like,
I'm going to take two chairs. What's her way? I think it's just the movie's way of introducing Daniel Craig's character, right? Because that's where she sees him.
Is weird when he's about to be James Bond. That was really weird.
Yes.
I didn't like it.
And the American accent. And
it's real bad. Here's what I like to call the broad side of the barn trope. Sure. This is where it's terrible aiming all around.
Yeah.
So a good example is she can do things with a motorcycle they were never meant to do, but people can't do the one thing that guns were actually meant to do, which is hit anything they aim at. Right. Nobody hit anything they aim for except her, I guess.
This was G.I. Joe. Yeah.
I hate that. I don't mind a little. Oh, what's the Last Watch? Have you guys seen this with
Yes. Yes.
Gyllenhaal and other dude. That's great. I really liked it. It jerked me in about 10 different emotional ways. Yeah, I thought it was really well. It's amazing performance. I think the movie has all kinds of problems, but I think the acting is insane. And if you don't like Jake Gyllenhaal, I think you're crazy. I think he's he is magnetic on screen. He does talk funny out of the side of his left side. Yeah, you like those lips? He does talk funny out of his mouth. Just check him next time. But anyway, besides that, whatever. They're on a giant screen. We're supposed to notice their flaws occasionally. But my point is, toward the end of that, there's a shootout with a bunch of gang members and a bunch of AK-47s. Mm-hmm. And they literally are shooting a fish in a barrel. And they don't hit anyone. And it really ruins films for me because I'm just like, then don't have that much firepower or give them more cover or give me some kind of suspension of disbelief. And this movie was really bad at that. Yeah. She should have been killed dozens of times.
Yeah. Like how many guys do you have to send into her manor to kill her before just one of them flanks her? Just a simple flanking.
Yeah.
Like how difficult is that? They must have sent in 15 guys.
Right.
A simple flanking.
And all of them came from the same direction? Really?
Yeah. Yeah, no, you're right. I wrote down here, get your freak on. Does anyone know what I'm talking about? Why would I write that? Oh, that's right, because the song was in it.
Yep.
Oh, was that when she was
Missy Elliott,
thing?
Yeah. I just wanted to point out that how much I love Get Your Freak On as the song. I love that song.
Yeah.
Is that the name of the song? Get Your Freak On, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Get Your Freak On. I used to love that.
Yep.
That's great stuff. And her face was all weird in the video, or I got all puffy
all
and stuff.
Twisted and
Yep. Mm-hmm. That's good stuff. All right. Also, it bugs me that if you have all the money in the world, are you just going to have the computer guy and the butler clean up after the biggest?
Yep. I'm just going to hang out here on the stairs in case UPS shows up. I'll watch you guys, though.
The fact that she just gives UPS like everybody else.
I love that UPS guy though. He's like the UPS comes flying up, and you know it's kind of off screen. All of a sudden, like not even half a second later, the dude's in the door.
Yep.
I mean, he is the fastest UPS guy ever.
He was in Flynn. Yeah. In like Flynn. Love it. I also have.
And if you leave your door open, does UPS just walk in? To the house?
Right.
Of course you do.
Okay.
Isn't that how it goes? Oh, in Europe, it's a European thing, Brian. Come on.
Oh, it's
like blood
it's
pudding.
EUPS.
And, yeah, EUPS. I also like the one where characters talk out loud whenever they see or read things alone. This happened a lot in this movie.
Yeah.
Again, over-explaining things. You don't need to read that. I get it. Mm-hmm. I know what's going on here. Maybe have – I'm fine with the sequence where John Voight speaks his letter. That's fine. Mm-hmm. That there's something to that. But when she has to look at something and go, hey, that's the sigil of the donkey bung, blah, 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 blah. It's like, no, dude, I know what it is. You're looking at it. You're good. Nobody talks like that. Anyway, okay. So there you go. Also, the big penis that's trying to pierce the little tiny urn. Couldn't you just climb up there with Jack freaking Bond and just go pop with a knife? What was the problem?
Right. Yes. I know. Because we need that for later on when 90-pound Angelina Jolie knocks the thing off its trajectory and knocks down the six-armed.
Right.
Yeah. Exactly.
Okay, so compare these stupid traps and puzzles to what Indiana Jones had to deal with in The Last Crusade with the penitent man and the freaking gravel on the ground to show that it was an optical illusion and you can walk across there and those sorts of things. Why did those feel okay and these all felt overly stupid to me?
I think it's all about timing and pacing. I felt like this movie was in such a hurry to get to the next point. They never let me enjoy the current point. Actually, the only time they really slowed it down was when she was turning that knife around, and that felt good. I was like, thank you. Thank you for making this movie where I can actually appreciate something and feel for the character for half a second. Because all the thing you show me so far is these flashbacks in slow motion.
Yeah.
That have, you know, this I don't know. There was never any connection for me.
Yeah, but you were gonna
yeah,
say.
just the fact that all those things like, oh, let's have that statue there stand up and start fighting her. It just seemed like instead of it being a, all right, what would the original creators of this trap do in order to keep someone from actually taking the thing at the end of the tunnel?
Right.
Versus, oh, wouldn't it be cool if that six armed statue got up and started fighting just at the last point?
Yeah, somehow you because wasn't the deal? Oh, I forgot about the goo that came out of the ground or whatever, like the AI Mercury or whatever the hell that was.
Oh yeah,
yeah. I mean, it's just a long series of, oh, wouldn't it be cool if ... as opposed to, all right, let them get past A. Ooh, all right, let's say they make it past A, then we need to have B do something. Mm-hmm. All right, ooh, they make it past B, let's have C something.
Yeah.
And
like, I don't need to know how Indiana Jones, the big blades swing out or how they're triggered. I just need to know that a character I care about is smartly doing a thing and his dad's whispering it and has done his death dirt.
Only the penitent man.
Right. That's works. Why, you know, it's just a fascinating thing about why that works and why this doesn't and why Crystal Skull in a lot of ways didn't work. I think for the same reasons. There was a lot of, well, we should do this just because we can. What, have flying monkeys? Yeah, why not? Let's have flying monkeys. Or why not cast Shia LaBeouf? That was one of those moments. Like, we could have him. Why not? Right. Why? Well, just because. Well, shit. Why? Because he's big right now? Yeah, Transformers. Don't you know that, Mr. Spielberg? Okay, fine. Put him in the movie. Well, if that's how you're making decisions, then nothing holds any water. You're not interested. Mm-hmm. And that's how I felt through most of this. I mean, really, is there a character in Tomb Raider where you went, man, the sympathy I have for that guy or that girl that anybody. Nobody. None. As one said, you're just playing an arcade game.
They didn't even get me with the techie nerd in the trailer.
Right.
Mm-hmm. How did they not get me with the nerd?
Right.
He's a typical nerd. He's a walking nerd trope. I'm supposed to love him.
Yeah.
Right? Supposed to be our connection.
Yeah.
He's the guy who would be playing the Tomb Raider video game if there was a Tomb Raider video game in this universe.
That's why he never knows what's going on, because his headphones are on. He's not listening to music. He's playing a video game. I'm supposed to love that guy, and I hated him, and I wanted him to get squished.
Yeah. Well, hurry up and cut off Jamie's hands. I get it. Let's see. What else? Is this the worst CGI ever with that goo pushing up the triangle? Like pushing up the piece in the air. That was pretty bad. Another, I mean, like, look, the big many arms of Bishnu fight, that stuff looked okay. Mm-hmm. You know, it wasn't, I don't know, we've come a long way, baby. But back then, that looked all right. But that goob schmooping up the thing, that looked real, real bad. Like, who's got a copy of 3D Studio Max 2.0 for Windows 3.1? Right. Who's got a copy of that?
Let's get some graphics in here from Ghostbusters 2.
Right. But at least that stuff in Ghostbusters 2 even had kind of a practical quality to it.
Right.
Like, you could tell it's all mirrors and shitty film and weirdness, and it wasn't somebody going, hey, check it out, man. It's Maya or whatever.
Yeah.
1.0. Anyway, let's see. Oh, and the weenie redhead. Oh, the weenie redhead I wrote here is the a helper is always gonna be sympathetic at the end, and I hate that trope. I hate that guy. He's the guy who's working for the bad guy. He was the ginger dude. Oh.
Little boy blue.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Julian Ren. Right. Tut, whatever his name was.
Yeah.
Most interesting IMDb photo this week would go to him.
Oh, hold on here. Let's check out that.
He's pulling a little bit of, he almost kind of carrot tops it.
Oh, gosh, dude. Right?
Almost carrot tops it.
Julian
Rind
Tut is his name.
All right.
He was.
But this may just be a bad picture.
Oh, yeah.
Picture. He doesn't look like that.
He's in.
Looks like Jane Lynch there a little bit.
What's that movie with Rupert Everett? Jason Fleming, Adam Buxton. Oh, Stardust. He's one of the brothers in Stardust. That's where I've seen that.
That's
guy.
Not even close to one of the better pictures of him, so I don't know why.
No, I know.
I would have hid that one. I would have.
Yeah, for sure.
Was he the Notting Hill roommate? I think he might have been.
Right.
Weird. All right. I didn't really look that deep on that guy, but yeah, he's one of Harry Potter's buddies in real life. So that's what he looks like.
Mm-hmm. Right. One of the Weasleys.
Yeah, one of the Weasleys. Really weird. Yeah. All right. Anything else jump to mind that we should tread before we get to clips?
I just feel so bad to universally hate on a movie that has
it has to have
some redeeming qualities. I just can't imagine that so many people would like it. So I'm expecting a lot of comments.
It's just average. That's
in the
all.
Comments that people will say something that we missed.
Well, if you're 12, I don't think it counts. If you were 12, I mean, when this came out, if this came out, you were 12 years old. I don't think
And see, that's what I'm curious about, because I'm like, you know, when I watched Indiana Jones, I was that age group of the 12-year-olds. And so I loved it. But do my mom watch that movie? I need to call my mom and go, Mom, when their faces melted in Indiana Jones, did you just get a headache from rolling your eyes so hard that, you know, you almost passed out?
That would be kind of interesting, actually, to get her perspective. I mean, my parents thought Star Wars was spectacle, but they didn't get why kids were falling over themselves about it.
Right. So I'm curious. I'm just curious if this is your passion, if Tomb Raider is your passion, post in the comments. Tell us why.
If Tomb Raider is your Star Wars or your Indiana Jones, tell us.
First off, how old are you?
Yeah. Filmsack@gmail.com. All right. Let's get to
this. So Pluto is not a planet.
Pluto. What?
Oh, come on. That's going to be my Twitter post.
That's all right. Forget even said it. Pretend it didn't happen.
You dug too deep. Scott Johnson.
We'll edit it in post. here's a clip about robot stuff.
It's a major remodel, you know. This is a disaster.
Was it programmed to stop before it took my head off?
Was it programmed to stop before it took off my head?
That's her talking through her lips. All right.
Yeah.
Now we know how to say her name right. So let there be no more question about Laura, Lara, Lara, all those things. Here's the answer.
Good morning, Lara. And what a beautiful morning it is.
Lara.
Lara. Lara.
Okay, wait.
Good morning, Lara.
Lara.
You're going to trust an Englishman to teach you how to pronounce something in English?
Just say English? Are you crazy?
That is nuts.
There's always been that fight, though, about, you know, whether or not it's Laura, Lara. I always said Laura Croft when I was growing up.
And then we get past that, and then Randy has to go, Angelina Jolie. Yeah. We go, crap!
Yeah, that's right. Jolly and Lara.
Lara.
The Jim Lara report.
Lara Croft, played by Angelina Jolly.
Thank you.
Let's see. This sounds like... see if this sounds like 2001 to you. So here you go. That is so like early electronica.
Very much.
Aughts, late 90s aught crap. Creepy dude. I like the old man. He creeped me out. And does it sound like it? If you think, just close your eyes and imagine a very different scene. This is how it would go right here.
Lara, my dear.
Oh, Mr. Wilson.
Let's go into my study. Let me take that for you.
Whoa, what? Hello, old man. Easy. Slow down.
Yeah.
Let me take that for you.
Let me take that for you.
Go into my study. Do you have a condom?
Oh, yes. Ribbed for your pleasure.
So were we supposed to think that he was getting poisoned by the wine, or that something exploded when it was the burrito in her microwave?
I think
that confused the crap out of it.
By the way, the hell's with your burrito, dude? Jeez.
That was badly done. Bottom line, badly done.
I think there was a gremlin in that microwave. That's what it reminded me of.
Right. I was surprised to still see him alive later on in a later scene when he called back, because I was the same way. I was like, did he just die? Did he not die?
No, he was a trope waiting to happen. But I think what happened is he was threatened and gave up the information about her and where to find her. And when he said sorry to the, or forgive me to the photo, it could have led to suicide or a gun to the head or something else. But I think he was just drinking himself into feeling better about his bad mistake or taking money, dirty money or something like that. But you're right. There's like 10 tropes all just hanging right there. Just hanging all around that, man.
Big old trope mobile.
Yeah, he's in the trope mobile. Let's see. How about James Bond with his bad American accent?
You are still pretending to be a photojournalist? You know, I think it's really cool that you still have a day job.
Having him try to say journalist without coming off as British is really hard. Think about it. That's probably one of those words. Like if you had to list all the hard words. We've been watching BSG again, and Jamie Bamber, who played Apollo, is as British as you get. But that guy nailed it, man. Never once did I go, yeah, he must be British because I heard him slip. He never slipped. So some of those guys can do it. James Bond can't do it. Got a license to kill? Doesn't have a license to talk right. All right. first time we hear the name of the movie.
Hey, you're the Tomb Raider.
Okay, number one.
Oh, my God.
We got more. There's more later. Don't worry. I love the movies when they say their own names. It's great. Usually it's once. Like, how many movies can you name where they do it all the time? It's pretty rare.
Right.
But this movie really got into it. All right, here's your Game of Thrones, man.
I believe you are quite an authority on things ancient and mythological.
Khaleesi. You should have said at the end. there's another bugger.
Bugger!
All right, there's one of your buggers. Let's see, here's the name again.
We have 2 minutes, Mr. West. You're the Tomb Raider. Figure it out.
You're the Nathan Drake analog.
Almost have you believing it's a term people actually use in their line of business.
Right.
Almost get you.
Such a Tomb Raider.
Even if you're a guy who's getting ancient artifacts in a tomb, I don't think you're calling each other Tomb Raiders. I don't think you are.
It's
real stupid. Okay, here we go. Bond doing another bad American voice.
Coming down. I want them all down. Take them, carry them across the ladders.
Ladders. Get them across those ladders. Jeez. I love Daniel Craig, but come on, man.
Yeah.
You know what? Right. Why couldn't he have just been British? He didn't have to have the American guy.
Right. There was absolutely no reason to make him American.
Yeah. We talked about this last week with Bond. It's like they got to bring in some, I don't know. I thought this ended with James Bond. Maybe it didn't, but you got to bring in a guy. Then hire an American guy. Like, have an American guy do the American guy. Don't hire him to have him be British. I would have liked him better British. That's all I'm getting at.
Mm-hmm.
Smack talking Bond. Here you go.
The timing needs to be exact.
No shit.
There you go.
Oh,
that's pretty good.
To your point, I do not understand. Mm. Like, who said that? Who walked? You know, I'm looking at all of these voices in the script, and I'm thinking we need one to just be so freaking wrong.
Yeah.
Who's going to like that? Whoever, who would have thought you like that?
Nobody. Adam West. What's his name? Billy West. What's his name?
Billy West.
The
Billy
director. West. Simon West.
Simon West. Are you talking about voice actors?
Yeah, the voice actor thinks that. Absolutely. Here's a weird laugh for you. All right, that's all. It's kind of hot, too.
It's like half cough, half laugh.
Yeah. How about let's hear the name one more time.
Are we sure she's really necessary?
Well, one Tomb Raider is good.
Oh, my God.
Two is better.
Tomb Raider 1 was good.
Clear and present danger. Let's see. Here's one about your bum going to sleep. Wait.
Your bum's going to sleep again. All down the left cheek.
Only the left cheek.
Wow, that was Brits. I just realized that was intended to be a joke.
Yeah,
it was. Yeah. It was very cheeky. Okay.
You didn't laugh at the time, did you?
No,
neither did I.
I thought he had. There was a vagrant sleeping there.
Like he has a medical condition or something.
A vagrant. Mm. I haven't heard that word since my grandmother was on soil.
I was trying to think of synonym for hobo that isn't hobo.
Yeah.
And I could,
my vagrant is asleep.
My grandma called them vagrants. My mom called them streetwalkers.
Trista would call them hobos all the time.
Hobos is the current
thing.
Yeah,
it was a hobo.
Yeah, it's back
to
hobos.
Picture a guy with a stick and a bandana tied around the end. And
I currently like the phrase street people because it sounds like a race of aliens.
Yeah, it does. Mm-hmm. And street walkers, if my mom was to say that now, it sounds like a zombie or like a vampire of the night or something. But she would call them street walker trucker types is what she'd say.
Okay.
But still to this day, I don't understand what it means. She meant hookers, I think.
Streetwalker to trucker types.
Yeah, but she'd say,
that's two totally different things.
It's like, you guys can't stay out there late. There's too many streetwalker trucker types, she'd say.
Yeah, I think she was talking about the prostitutes there.
Must be. But what are the trucker part? I don't know. Yeah. I'm with,
they like the truckers. Trucker pulls into town, parks his truck, gets more prostitutes.
Streetwalker trucker types. Or hussy, she'd say. There's too many hussies.
That's a word that makes zero sense.
I agree. I completely agree.
Really, like... That you can't look at that word and go, oh, I know what that means.
Just call them all buggers.
Bugger!
All right.
Yeah, it just means undesirables.
Here's one about some angry acting.
Must find the eye! All of you, hurry!
Okay, chick in the bucket. Who was that guy and where did he come from?
Mm-hmm.
What was his deal? Where'd they find him?
Yeah, because as soon as they took out Powell, he's like, all right, I guess we're done here. Everybody, let's go.
Yep.
Right, he's the money man. He's the money man.
But he was nowhere to be seen any other part of this.
He ran out of money.
He's not the guy from the big Illuminati meeting, was it? Was that him?
I think he was. I thought he was. I may be totally incorrect. Going back and looking at the actors because...
Oh, also, F you movie for invoking Illuminati. I'm so sick of that. I'm sick of every movie who does that. I get it. Secret Society. Hey, Illuminati are behind this.
This would have been one of the earlier ones, at least.
Yeah, would it have been?
2001.
Dan Brown, he peed on everything, made everything worse. Thanks, Dan.
I passed on that one.
Thanks a lot, buddy.
But I did like his betrayal of the Illuminati. It's like, okay, bunch of white businessmen in a big room sitting in chairs with no tables. Sounds legit. Let's do it.
Yeah. There were no tables. You're right.
I actually like a lot of other films, you know, ancient conspiracies.
Right.
You know, like I love the League of Shadows and Batman Begins, and
yeah, I get into I like, that. That's cool.
I like the whole Shadow Masonic group and National Treasure. Mm-hmm. I get that. This film, no,
it's just too easy. It's right. just too why easy to go. Yeah. Oh, we're Illuminati. Moving on.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, why does it work so well in other films and not well here?
Because they earn it. They earn it. Damn it. All right, that's it for your clips. That leads us straight all into this. It's the Film Sack Checklist. Giant robot nemesis run by an IBM ThinkPad. Check.
You got it.
Gratuitous side boob. Check. And side bum from Bond. Let's see. Lara Croft does not know how to use a microwave. Check. Nerd computer expert who acts like comedy relief. Check. Bad guy that lounges on a velvet chair while slaves work all around him. Check. And finally, a nerd and a ginger starring directly as the eclipse at the eclipse like dummies. Check. I can't read. That whole scene cracked me up. We have some Star Trek connections submitted to us by Daryl Skeels, the Trek nerd on Twitter. Stuart Baird, he's executive producer on Nemesis. He was the director of Star Trek Nemesis and also voiced the Scimitar computer in the film. Robert Phillips, Julius in this movie. He was the assault team leader who couldn't aim at anything. In TOS, he played Space Officer, seen in the episodes The Cage and The Menagerie Part 2. How was the assault team leader that old? Could that have been? Because TOS, original series, The Cage. I don't think anyone in The Cage is alive anymore except Spock. Right? I think that's true. I think they've all died. Anyway, whatever.
I don't know.
That is what it is. Star Trek, great. I'd give it an N for the 90s. Are still in effect in 2001. But it was fine. Whatever. It did fine. For what it was fine. Didn't mind it. Didn't hate it. Didn't love it. Let's get to a Twitter post in 140 characters. 40? 140 characters or less.
140 characters.
Let's start with Randy. Sum it up.
Tomb Raider. Angelina Jolie goes up, up, down, down, left, right, boobs, ass, jungle, museum, artifacts, black magic, robot, kaboom.
Konami code. That was great. Nicely done.
Fits in for me.
Brian Dunaway.
Lara Croft. Tomb Raider. Two movie quotes. Sum up this movie for me. First, my ignorance amuses me. And second, into the belly of the beast and out the demon's ass.
Wow, that's nice.
Do you remember that part?
I say it every morning.
Yeah.
What part? Wait. Into the...
No, there was a quote. I was surprised you didn't play it. Into the belly of the beast. And then Daniel Craig came back out with, and out of the demon's ass.
Oh, now I remember. Why didn't I capture that? That seems capturable.
It seemed very capturable.
All right, well, thank you for invoking it anyway. And then finally, Brian Ibbett.
Tomb Raider, when the nine planets are aligned, the answer will be revealed. Aw, sorry, Pluto. What, too soon?
Right.
Nice. I'm glad we hang on for that one. That was good. The alternate title. Oh, wait. The words in, the votes have come in. The alternate title for this film, quote, bad mullet wearing monologuing villains never win, unquote. Mm. Hey, guys, says an emailer. His name's James. This is not James. It's Bernie. Says, I'm rewatching The Day After Tomorrow. I remember Scott saying it was his favorite end of the world movie. I think what I said was it was my favorite of the Emmerich end of the world movies, to be specific. But anyway, do you guys have plans to do this for Film Sack, Bernie? Is it on streaming? Because if it is, I would answer to that probably. It feels like a good
movie,
one.
Though. Could it?
I liked it. I liked it a lot.
I think there's stuff to pick out. Sure, there's definitely stuff to pick out.
I thought Randy didn't like it. Isn't that you, Randy, that didn't like that?
I can't name one of those movies that I like.
Well, they're all kind of poo, but so it's a relative like. I like that one. Of all of those, that's the one I like. And that's got your Jake Gyllenhaal in there. It's got your non-Randy Quaid, Dennis Quaid in there.
And it is streaming. Oh, it is not streaming.
Oh, yeah. Oh.
You really got me going there for a minute.
Good news, everyone.
I saw the red, and I was looking for the blue. Oh. Right.
Well, if it ends up on some sort of streaming service that makes sense, Bernie, perhaps. It always has a better chance when it's like that. Sometimes people send us movies. We'll do those occasionally, but for the most part, we like some to stream. I got one here from James. This is Top 10 Reasons to Sack Battle Beyond the Stars. Battle Beyond the Stars.
One?
We haven't yet, no. Wow. He says, number one, a sci-fi remake of The Seven Samurai / Magnificent Seven with Robert Vaughn reprising his role as one of the Magnificent Seven. Two, it's a Harvey Korman film. Three, a Star Wars ripoff starring Richard the Waltons Thomas as Luke Skywalker's character, basically is what he is. Mm-hmm. Four, art direction and spaceship models by James Avatar Cameron. What? Five, campy screenplay by John Sayles. Six, George Papard as the drunken Han Solo type character. Dude. 7, a spaceship that looks like a cow with boobs.
Oh my god.
8.
You guys never seen this?
No. I totally remember this.
I don't remember this at all.
Too. Oh, this is like one of my all time favorites. I used to love the crap
8, Sybil Danning in a breast harness with real boobs. 9, Jeff Star Trek connection Corey as Obi-Wan Kenobi's character, basically that kind of character. And number 10, a smart alecky female computer voice robot dancing and Sam Jaffe's disembodied head. I think this sounds great. Thanks, James. We'll check it out. Is it a streaming? Yeah, check on that.
Not even on Netflix DVD.
No DVDs, nothing. Brian, nothing. You're the YouTube Lord. Go see if you can find that thing.
YouTube Lord.
YouTube Lord. Lord. I would watch everything he just said there makes me want to see this movie in a real bad way. So I'm all into that. Can we talk about our next movie? I don't even know what the hell it is.
Our next movie is going to be Footloose. That's right, Footloose.
That's right, dude. Freaking Footloose.
The original, people. The original. Don't go seeing the new thing.
Let's hear it for the boy. The one filmed in Lehigh, Utah, everybody.
That's right. It's the original Footloose. And immediately thereafter, we're watching The Rundown.
In. I'm all in.
And we're watching, we're getting into October where we're going to watch a string of scary movies. We're going to watch Event Horizon and The Dead Zone and Trick or Treat.
Oh my gosh. Baby. Is that the one with Gene Simmons?
I know nothing about Trick or Treat.
Trick or Treat?
All I know is.
Trick or Treat. Yeah.
Okay, I know some things about it actually.
All right. What do you know?
It's a cult classic. A cult classic from 2007. Directed by Michael Dougherty. Oh. Not really. It's got Anna Paquin and Brian Cox in it.
Yeah. I like Brian Cox. It says here, 4 interwoven stories that occur on Halloween. An everyday high school principal has a secret life as a serial killer. A college virgin might have met the one guy for her. Doesn't sound like a horror.
That's great. God, how long has it been since there's been a little anthology, Tales from the Crypt, Twilight Zone-y kind of.
Yeah, so this is an interesting thing we're saying. We're gonna watch Footloose. Now soon, and by the end of the October we will have watched Trick or Treat.
Yeah, this will be great. And hopefully if all the stars align, I'll actually be moving in Halloween, which sounds like the scariest story of all.
If the stars align, then we'll be watching Tomb Raider again. That's no good.
By the way, in there really looking forward to Event Horizon. I can't wait to watch that with you guys. Yeah.
Beyond excited about that one. That's my favorite of everything you just mentioned. It's still scary to me. Can't wait to see Dr. Grant all cracked up like dirty desert floor for no reason. There's so much to love about that movie. Stay tuned. More big stuff coming in the future for FilmSack. Of course, as always, you can find us at filmsack.com. That's a place where we have stuff. It's our show notes, archives, links to the forums. You can comment there. We love that kind of interaction, so please keep that coming. You can email us at filmsack@gmail.com. Happy to read your emails. Send us a tweet. You can do that. Retweet us, whatever, @FilmSack. Leave us a review on iTunes. And check out more great shows at frogpants.com. That's going to do it for us, for me, for Brian, and for Randy.
That's me.
We'll see you next time.
Tomb Raider.
Tomb Raider. Only the penitent boob shall pass.
This podcast is part of the Frog Pants Studios Network. For more information about this and other shows, visit frogpants.com. Audio program so good, it's like you're there.